This is a Federal News Network podcast.
Some agencies have outgrown their old telework policies during the pandemic, prompting them to consider making some telework arrangements permanent. Congress is interested in that idea, too. Some senators see the recruitment and retention benefits to telework as just too promising to ignore. And they say it's worth updating 10-year-old federal telework policies to conform with the times. We get more now from Federal News Network's Nicola Grisco.
It took a global pandemic, but some agencies are changing their ways when it comes to telework. Cindy Rose is the Chief Human Capital Officer for the Labor Department.
Not a day goes by that I don't have managers and supervisors tell me how amazed and delighted they are at how well 99% telework is working. And I always ask, well, what did you expect? And they stop and say, well, gee, I don't know, but I'm just really surprised and happy that it is going so well. So the training, the support, and the performance elements that we're holding employees to seem to be working.
Labor recently completed its performance evaluations for the year. The department builds specific metrics into employee performance plans. And Rose says labor hasn't seen any appreciable difference or decline in those metrics since most everyone started teleworking full time. The transportation department surveyed its managers about work performance, and 55% said their work units performed better during the pandemic than before. It's why transportation is considering a new remote work policy that would allow the department to offer jobs to qualified applicants regardless of their proximity to the office. Keith Washington is transportation's Deputy Assistant Secretary for Administration.
We're hoping that if we can broaden the applicant pool nationwide, that we can really recruit and retain employees at a better rate so that it will really improve our attrition. So that is our rationale. We're continuing to assess that. We've learned a lot, you know, over the last few months. So we're trying to make that business case before going forward with our remote policy. We're benchmarking with the private sector and our stakeholders and counterparts at other federal agencies as well.
Members on the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Subcommittee on Regulatory Affairs and Financial Management are intrigued by telework's recruitment and retention benefits, Subcommittee Chairman James Lankford.
It also opens up a significant job opportunity to, let's say, spouses of our military, which often are working in very remote areas. By definition, a base or a post is very far from another area, and there are very few jobs available. But they could work at Department of Transportation in a telework situation, even if they're in beautiful, fabulous Altus, Oklahoma, where there aren't as many jobs available in that area.
Lankford wants to know, what would it take to hire new talent from anywhere around the United States? Here's Washington with Lankford.
We're hoping, as a result of a lot of our lessons learned from the health emergency, that managers would be more receptive. So I think it's more of a culture change. And we're compiling a lot of the data, assessing metrics to build that business case to have a more rigorous remote work policy. But I think a lot of it is culture change.
So there's nothing regulatory or statutory right now that you couldn't do that today? Or let's say we're post-pandemic, that you couldn't do that in just in a decision you want to make?
I'm not aware of regulatory or statutory barriers. In fact, there could be cost savings. I mean, if the employee is working in Oklahoma or a rural area where the cost of living and the locality pay is cheaper, there could actually be cost savings associated with that.
The Labor Department says they're already doing this for some jobs. Here's Rose.
It was a paradigm shift for some of our managers and supervisors who've now had their eureka moment, like, this is working really well. And now suddenly I've got an applicant pool that is the entire United States, not just the Washington, D.C. metro area. We are routinely announcing jobs at this time for all locations, no longer just a Washington, D.C. duty station or a Chicago, Illinois duty station, but considering everyone in the country. In the Office of Human Resources itself, about a third of my staff is 100% remote telework, and that will continue permanently beyond the pandemic because of where they are located and where they're working.
Rose says she retained one employee whose spouse got military orders to Germany. That employee will continue to work for Labor full-time thanks to a remote work arrangement. Here's Rose again.
It's the best. And We have found that employees outside the Washington, D.C. area stay longer. They are happy to stay working with the agency that recruited them and hired them. Employment in the government in Washington tends to be a revolving door, and we just steal people from each other. And it goes around and around and around. And I'm delighted that we can now access a much bigger applicant pool of very qualified people.
Embracing completely remote work arrangements would likely save agencies money. Michelle Rosenberg is Acting Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office.
I know when GAO moved to expanded telework, it enabled us to reduce our footprint both in our regional offices and reduce the amount of lease space, as well as in our headquarters building. It enabled us to rent out parts of our headquarters building to other agencies since we had less people who needed physical space in the building.
Of course, not all agencies are as eager to jump on the telework bandwagon. Some agencies, like the Social Security Administration, were skeptical of telework before the pandemic. Jim Borland is the Deputy Chief Information Officer for IT Operations at SSA, and he says the agency cut back on telework before the pandemic because SSA lacked the tools and measures to make sure it was actually effective. Now, though, SSA is relying on telework, with most local and field offices still closed to the public. And Borland says telework isn't a one-size-fits-all solution at SSA. But he did acknowledge there are some clear benefits during the pandemic.
We have learned at Social Security that whether it be provisioning security credentials or laptops or cell phones, providing training, that work can be done remotely. The workforce can be remote. We have been addressing challenges, public service challenges on our 800 number. And we have new 800 number agents that received all of their equipment, their security credentials, their onboarding, their orientation, and their training remotely, and they are working from home.
Meantime, Lankford says he's open to legislative changes to update the 10-year-old Telework Enhancement Act.
Over the last 10 years, we've seen great advances in technology, workforce expectations, and an increase in cybersecurity threats. So many changes in the world, it makes sense to take a close look at the current telework policies and strategies within the federal workforce. The current pandemic has acted as a magnifying glass for telework policy improvement.
And he's looking for ideas from agencies on legislative changes that might modernize federal telework policy.
This is a paradigm shift for how we work as a federal government. We're opening up a much larger pool of individuals that are eligible to be able to work with us and with greater flexibility on some of the tasks that we have. We will always have in-person, and we should always be here in Washington, D.C. with our agency heads and all of those things to be able to interact for those face-to-face meetings that need to occur. But we have millions of people around the country that would love to be able to serve their country by serving in one of these agencies.
Nicole LaGrisco, Federal News Network.
Check out Nicole's story at federalnewsnetwork.com.